I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. You want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's where we'll start this morning. I appreciate what LJ read for us and appreciate the songs that Steve led. I think number 28, a lot of the words there will hopefully go with what we're going to talk about this morning. And back in Matthew chapter 6 that LJ read, too, we're all probably pretty familiar with what Jesus teaches there in regards to prayer, the things that he says about, not praying to be seen by men, and you pray in secret and your Father will reward you openly, and what he says about not using vain repetition, and even the example that he gives of prayer, the things that he says we ought to pray for. And that passage is often, for good reason, referred to as the model prayer. Jesus does give us a good model for prayer and attitude about prayer. And I want to talk about a model for prayer this morning, but not this model of prayer. I want to talk about Paul's model for prayer in 2 Corinthians 12. And it's not actually even prayer necessarily that we read there. There's no prayer that Paul says for us to read in 2 Corinthians, but there are some things about how Paul describes his prayer that I think we need to learn from, specifically too, I think, in how we pray in times of distress, in times that are difficult in our lives. And so we'll start there in 2 Corinthians 12. And the first thing we learn simply is to pray in times of distress, right? Paul starts in verse 7 describing this thorn in the flesh, he calls it, this messenger of Satan that afflicts him. We don't know what that was. The text doesn't reveal that to us. But what is evident is that this thing afflicted Paul and distressed him greatly. And what does Paul do about it? Well, he prays. Right? And if you go to verse 8, he says, "Concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord." That word pleaded that we translate into English, in the Greek it literally means entreats, and it can even mean beg. And so the idea is that Paul goes to God and he asks earnestly and he asks humbly for help in his hour of need. And the scriptures teach us in various places about the importance of relying on God and calling on God in times of need. You look in Psalm 18 and verse 6, David writing there says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." If you back up to the beginning of the psalm, if you look, it says there that these words were something David uttered on a time that he was delivered from Saul, right? And so David, in this period of his life, when Saul was hunting him, David knew that he could go to God, and he did go to God for help. He knew that his help was in the Lord, and that he could turn to him for deliverance. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, Peter says there that we ought to cast our care upon him being God. And he says that right before he starts talking in verse 8 about Satan as this devouring lion. And then in verse 9, he talks about the sufferings experienced by the brotherhood in the world. And so he's saying there, in those times of difficulty, you go to God. Cast your care and your worry upon him. And it seems such an obvious thing to say, and in many ways it is an obvious thing to say, that when we need help, we should go to God in prayer. But sometimes I think that because it's so obvious and it's so simple in our minds, we sometimes neglect it. And sometimes we just let the worry consume us, and we don't really go to God like we should. And sometimes maybe we think that prayer is such a simple thing that we don't really understand the gravity of what it is that we're doing when we do pray. You know, we literally get to call upon the highest power in existence, and we get to ask him for help, tell him our troubles. And we have assurance then, too, of knowing that he hears us. It's not just that we get to ask. We have the confidence of knowing that God listens to our plea. You look back again in Psalm 18, David says in that verse, in verse 6, that he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him. If you look in Proverbs 15, Solomon says in verse 29 that the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. And in 1 John, you look in chapter 5 and verse 14. Is that the right verse? I may have wrote it down wrong. No, I'm looking in the wrong chapter. Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When we pray and we ask for help, you know, we don't just talk to the air to make ourselves feel better. That's not what prayer is. We are calling upon and entreating the God that made heaven and earth. We're asking him for help. And for those that are righteous, we know that God hears our pleas. We know that he listens. And we know that he cares. You look back in what we referenced earlier in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Peter says that we cast our care upon God knowing that he cares for us. And God does care. He cares about our difficulties. He cares about our problems. And he listens to us when we ask for help. And so Paul teaches us that in times of hardship, we need to turn to him for help, to God for help, being confident that God hears what we need. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 12, the other thing that I think Paul teaches us about prayer is the importance of praying often. You know, it says there again in verse 8 that Paul pleaded with the Lord three times concerning his thorn in the flesh, that it would depart from him. And so Paul doesn't just pray, but Paul prays often, and he prays repeatedly to God. Right? And he talks in his other letters often about the importance of praying continually. You look in Romans 12, he says to continue steadfastly in prayer. In Colossians, it's earnestly in prayer in chapter 4 and verse 2. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we probably are familiar with the verse there in verse 17 where he says to pray without ceasing. Right? The idea is not that we're praying every waking moment. That's not really what he's saying. I think the idea is that we develop a habit of prayer, and that we stick with it, that prayer is just a part of our lives, that we don't neglect it, that we pray often. We speak with our God and we tell him what troubles us. And not only does Paul here, I think, show the significance of praying often, but even praying for the same things often. Right? He doesn't just pray three times. He prays specifically for this thing that afflicted him three times. He asks God for help on the same issue repeatedly. And that's another thing that Paul does in other aspects of his letters too. Often in the beginnings of his letters, he'll say something about, you know, I give thanks for you always in my prayers, or I make mention of you always in my prayers. Giving thanks, by the way, is something else that we ought to do often, not just in asking God for help, but giving thanks also. But he says the same things in a lot of his prayers. He mentions a lot of the same things, prays for the same things repeatedly. David also, you know, you can look at David as an example. The 73 Psalms that we know David wrote, most of them deal with the same three things. Right? It's deliverance from enemies or from affliction. It's forgiveness and it's praise to God. Nearly every one of his Psalms includes at least one of those things, and often more than one. And so David was also praying for the same things frequently. And we often, I think, understand the idea that praying, just praying often, is beneficial. But why do we pray for the same things often? Right? Well, we don't do that for God's benefit. We don't do that so that he can actually hear us, or think that God didn't hear us the first time we asked. Right? Prayer isn't for God's benefit at all, really. It's for our benefit. It's so that we learn that we need to recognize, right, that God, or that we need God, rather, for help, that we need to call upon him, that we need to humble ourselves and ask for that help. And so we pray for the same things often then, because there's just power in fervent prayer. You look in James chapter 5 and verse 16. He says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And he goes on to talk about Elijah. Right? And Elijah was a man like you are, And Elijah prayed for 3 years that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. There's power in praying fervently and praying continually. Is there a point at which we should probably accept that God has heard us and it's in His hands now? Probably. I think there is. You know, Paul prayed 3 times about this thing that afflicted him, and he stopped because God gave him an answer, you know, which we'll talk about in a minute. David, again, you know, David prays over and over again in Psalms for the same sorts of things. I don't think that there's a set number of times to pray about any one given thing. We have to make that determination for ourselves. But more than once, probably, more than once, and pray often about those things. But regardless of how many times I think we pray about something, the point is to pray fervently, to go to God often with what troubles us, to ask Him for help, again, knowing that God can help and that God does hear us. Again, Paul teaches us the importance of praying often, praying for the same things often. And finally, if you go back to 2 Corinthians 12, I think the last thing, and probably the hardest thing, and then again, arguably the most important thing that Paul teaches us about prayer, is being willing to accept God's answer. So in verse 8, it says that he's pleaded with the Lord 3 times concerning this thing, that it might depart from him. And in verse 9, God gives Paul his answer. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Or, in other words, to boil it to a word, the answer is no. He tells Paul, no, there is some more to it than that. But the answer was no. And how does Paul then respond to the Lord's answer? He says in verse 9, "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God told Paul no, and Paul said, okay, that's fine. He was content with that. We see him expound on this kind of idea more in Philippians chapter 4, the same sort of attitude. You look in chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12, he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need." Paul had learned no matter what situation he was in life, no matter how God chose to answer his prayers, that he would be content. He would accept whatever God decided for him, however God chose to answer. You know, often I think that there's a temptation when we pray, and we don't get our way when we pray, to become resentful, and we become bitter towards God because He didn't answer us the way that we wanted. And sometimes we then start thinking if God's even listening, or God's abandoned us in some way. And then some people go so far then to question, is God even there? And it's in those sort of times when our faith, I think, gets put to the test, that we really have to learn how to be content. And it's not easy. And I think it takes a lot of maturity, a lot of patience, and a lot of faith to be content when God says no. But we have to learn to accept His will. And not just accept His will, but I think also we have to learn to desire that His will be done over ours. You know, if you go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 where LJ read, Jesus says there in his prayer, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, when we pray, we should ask God for the things that we need, and we should ask Him for help. But this desire should be in us too, that God's will be done over ours, that God's will be done no matter what. And again, that can be really hard. It can be really hard when God's answer is other than what we have asked for, especially when we've begged and agonized over the same things, when we ask for help for people that we care about or for ourselves. It's very difficult when God says something other than what we want. But that's the type of heart that we need to cultivate towards God, to learn to accept His will in all things. But I think it's also important to remember that even when God's answer is other than what we want, that doesn't mean that we're without help in that thing. You know, He didn't just tell Paul no without any kind of reassurance. He didn't tell Paul, no, you're on your own. No, He said no, but, you know, my grace is going to be sufficient for you, and I'm going to show you strength in your infirmity. He told Paul that he would still be there. You go back to Philippians chapter 4, and you look at verse 13, another verse that we all probably know well. He says at the end of that thought, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God isn't going to tell us no and then not offer us any help at all in our time of need. He's going to be there for us through our tribulation. Even if He doesn't remove it from us, God will still be there. He'll give us the strength that we need to endure. And you know, God in His infinite wisdom, He knows a lot more than any of us do. And so even when the answer is different from what we want, and it seems like difficult times or afflictions are going to be too much for us, it might be too that in time we'll see that God's answer was exactly what we needed. You know, you look in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the prophet there writes about, you know, God's ways are so much higher, His thoughts are so much higher than our ways. You know, we don't know all of the workings and designs of God. The wisest person cannot know all of those things. We don't know what ends those things will accomplish. And so we can't know then either what our affliction will accomplish in our lives. And it might be that God telling us no is for our benefit. You know, He told Paul no because Paul needed a reminder of how much he needed God and to keep him humble. And so it might be that God telling us no will work something else in us later that'll make us stronger, that'll make us more devoted to Him. And so we need to choose to accept His answer in our lives and our prayers, regardless of what that might be. We need to accept His will. Paul teaches us to accept God's will and to be content, no matter how He answers our prayers. But in all of these things, I think that what Paul is doing, as it should be, points back to Christ. Right? If you go to 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 1, he says, imitate me even as I also imitate Christ. When Jesus did this very thing that Paul did here in 2 Corinthians 12. If you read in Matthew 26, Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night He was betrayed, and being deeply distressed and sorrowful, He prayed. In His time and His hour of need, He prayed. He knew that He could go to God for the help that He needed. And He didn't just pray once, but He prayed three times, like Paul prayed. He prayed fervently. But in his prayers, he also says, your will be done. He was going to accept whatever God had decided for him. And like Paul, the answer God gave was no. And the reason his answer was no is because there was no other way for Christ, or for us rather, to be saved other than for Christ to suffer what he did. He died a horrible death on the cross that we might be delivered from the sin that we committed. And so this morning, if you're here and you've not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, if you've not allowed the blood that He allowed to be shed to cleanse you from your sin, we encourage you to be obedient to the word, that you would give your life to Christ, that you would be diligent to follow after Him. If you're here this morning and you've fallen away or you're struggling with something, you know, one of the things that Jesus says in Matthew 6 also is, forgive us our trespasses. You go to God in prayer, and you ask Him for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive. And we encourage you to do that, and if you need help, that you would talk with someone here to get the help that you need. And of course, go to your Father. Ask Him for the help that you need, and He will give it to you. Whatever your need might be, though, we can't help unless we know there's a problem. So we encourage you to let it be known while we stand and while we sing.